say, okay, ain't bad enough. Let's do it all. But it's still gonna be more. We understand. We know, and we proclaim that we are here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who
pre-existed as God's Son, was sent by the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
All right, so knowing who our King is, do you worry about what's coming against you?
No.
Do you ever worry, need to worry about what's coming against you?
No.
This is how I fight my battles.
Yes.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
I'm surrounded.
morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We'll do our responsive reading. And for those who have their Bibles, in Psalms 34. Anyway. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. Somebody?
Alex.
I praise the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles.
For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends us all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need.
Amen. Even strong lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies.
Amen.
Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to the cries of for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He will erase their money from the earth.
The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to their rescue each time.
Amen.
For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Calamity will surely overtake the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. Together?
But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned.
Dear Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us all the opportunity of being here today. Lord, we ask that what we hear today be advantageous to us all, independently and collectively. We ask these and all other blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Last week we introduced a song that's new to some of us, and I think we need to just keep learning it. I'm going to test it today and see if you know it, all right? Just follow the tempo. It's a little different tempo than we used to, but it's all right.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
I've searched the world,
but I'll take care of it.
But it couldn't heal me. Bye. Because the God of the mountains is the God.
Teaching on this Wednesday. Of course, Tuesday, don't forget, Training day. Every Tuesday, the preacher for the day, Minister Richard Overall, is the one who teaches training day for 1 hour from 4 to 5 every Tuesday. And of course, Friday is Bring Back the Family with Dr. Kathy Clyburn. Had an awesome time on that last week. One of the young hosts came on and talked about delayed gratification. I wish every young person in the world could hear that. It's putting in the work. Amen. Then you can sit with serious kids. Amen. Then you can sit with those who sat and put in the work and then graduated and got the accolades. Okay, you can sit with Alex and everybody else. Amen. So tune in on Bring Back the Family. They have an awesome discussion about what we're going to do. Are we just going to watch this stuff happen? Or are we going to actually do something about it to make a better day for our young people? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Of course, you know our Saturday worship service and all of that. And there's the sick list. There you go.
You.
Amen. Praise the
Lord. Go ahead. This is our June emphasis.
Oh.
Is that announcement?
We have one announcement from the Fathers, for the fellows of the church. The Father's Day brunch is next Saturday, June the 10th. At 1 o'clock p.m. This is the first time I ever did it this early, so please be prompt. And you're gonna get a meal you may never had,
Rocky.
I'll give out at the end of service. See me after church, and I'll give everybody the address. It was on an announcement paper that I gave for
3226
Hamilton. This is our June focus prayer list. If you have any people that you need on the prayer list, you can contact me or Crystal, preferably me, or I usually try to get with her during the week to see if anybody's added. But we're focusing on Darius and getting him on that list,
right,
to the top of that list. Nedra and Alex are
Woo!
Our high school graduates, and we're focusing on them. I didn't put our other graduates on because they old heads and I've already been through this. So. And Mother Marilyn and the loss of her cousin, first cousin, who they're funeralizing tomorrow, and their family, men and fathers, and especially men of a certain color.
Yes.
But men and fathers, let us be our prayer focus. And of course, we keep it for Ed in prayer, which we pray for Ed. You know you're praying for Rebecca. Rebecca, if you did. Vice versa. And Nicole, special prayer. She is possibly changing. We're praying that they end her chemo this week.
Okay.
And then mothers, of course, and then Doris, who we can keep on the prayer list. And again, anybody else you want to ask, just see me. But this is our general emphasis. So take a picture. Whatever you have to do, write down the names so you can have it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. It's time for offering. You can move forward. Thank you, Alex, for stepping in. Yeah, you can move forward. It's time for giving.
You did a great job, Alex.
Appreciate it. That's a hard job. And then when you got the high school diploma on top of that. You see how college people do it. So, you can get a skill degree. So as you stand it to your feet with your offering envelopes, we'll be doing the next song, the speakers will be passing baskets. This song we know. All right, you can go for it. Yeah. Aren't you glad our God doesn't quit? Take vacations. How about that one? Aren't you glad our God is eternal? Real?
We will wait upon the Lord our God. He is great.
Reverend Dr. Tate to come on down here and lead us in the community.
Good job, Ellen. Low, stop goofing up. Let us prepare for communion. Try to get these adult proof cups open.
And mean adults can't
cook it. Kids can get it open quick. It'll take us 2 days. As we prepare for communion, we're supposed to approach this with a pure heart, clear mind. This is nothing that we do out of tradition. It's out of remembrance for what Christ did for us.
Amen.
So let's take a moment to clear our minds and our hearts as we prepare for communion. Amen. Before the Lord was crucified, on his way to the cross, he had what's known as the Lord's Supper. And he took bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, take and eat." The Lord also took a cup. In their day they had wine. And he said, "This represents my blood, which will be shared for you to pay for all sins. Let us take and drink." Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
We'll revisit that next month.
Yes.
One of the things I love about the song is the word songs anyway, the story behind the song. What prompted a person to write? And I remember I was at the house, and it was one of those days I was feeding my, and I was scrolling through my iPad, and Richard Smallwood said that he had written his autobiography. And he wanted to write a praise song, upbeat, you know, something real. And then he wanted to write a sad song because he realized that he was dealing with a friend who was dying of cancer and his mother who had dementia. Mm-hmm. Mm. And of course, I was in tears at that point.
Yes.
And this was the song that he ended up writing.
Walk to the next
one. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for the bottom.
Let me introduce the preacher for y'all.
Good morning. Amen. This morning we are kicking off Men of God Month, and men have basically disappeared from the face of Christendom and have taken a back seat, but we intend to re-enlist men. That is our goal, that is our hope, back into the positions that God placed them in. We're supposed to be the head. Amen. And we want to lift that up, to bring that reminder. Amen.
Wow.
That men have a very important role to play in creation.
Yes.
In all creation. Amen.
Amen.
And so today, to begin this recognition of Men of God Month, my own brother, Reverend Richard Overall from Word of Faith International, who also does our Tuesday training day.
Yes.
It's showing up training day. Amen. Yes. Amen. It's fun, huh? Amen. He'll go
yes,
there.
Yes, indeed. You'll get
so he's going to bring us the word this morning. Amen. And here he is, Reverend Richard Overall from Word of Faith International.
Oh.
Amen. He can give you some more information about his pastor and his church. Go ahead, big brother. Amen.
Bless. Praise the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I bring you greetings from your sisters and brothers at Word of Faith International Christian Center, the one located in Southfield, my pastor, Bishop Keith Butler.
All right.
Amen. I thank God for Running for Christ Ministries. As you know, it's an honor, because I was out one day and I ran across a lady, and she had heard the guy I was dealing with mention my last name, and she asked me, was I Pastor Overall? And I'm like, well, I am, but you might be talking about my brother. And find out she was listening. She's listening to y'all broadcast, because you're reaching people all over. Amen. And that's a blessing to be used of God in that way. You know, I just thank God for you right now, being at this opportunity. As my brother said, Satan does what Satan do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not surprised at that at all. See, but I mean, we're at a time where the men have to step forward. Amen. But let's go before the throne of grace before I get started here. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you for this marvelous opportunity to come before your throne. We thank you that you paid for it with the blood of your own Son. Yes. We thank you, Jesus, for you are the man of all men.
Amen.
And you set the standard for us to follow. And we thank you for being obedient unto the cross.
Yes.
And we thank you that you kept your word and sent back the Holy Spirit to guide us and to teach us.
Yes.
And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that we can always count on and trust in you. Right now, we're asking that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Continue to bless the eyes of our understanding even more. Bless us to understand the great and magnificent power you have given unto us.
Yes.
Father, we ask that you bless us with your will. Let it be manifested in this house today. Father, we ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people,
yes,
and even my own, and we thank you for it right now, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
You know, I really do, I thank God for the invitation when my brother mentioned it to me. You know, it's a challenge, because, you know, I thought back of my life, and I looked at it, and I was going to say, you know what, Lord, he could get a better man, you know, because my life been a trial. So he started going through all the characters in the Bible, and everybody's life was a trial,
okay,
you know. And we're going to start here. I want to start with in Deuteronomy, with God, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And give you a minute to get there. When God, this is after God, and Moses is getting ready to get the instructions from God about life. And he said, now these are the commandments and the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might might do them in the land whether you possess it. I'm reading from this, the old school Bible, okay? And, excuse me for a minute here. And I want to drop down to verse 7. We'll make that verse 6. And these are the words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in the house, and where you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. Now, what God is telling him is, think about this. When you go back from Adam. Adam, imagine being Adam now. God gives you instructions, okay? But now, think of the fact, we in our generation, we have everything. We have the internet. We have Bibles. They didn't even have a Bible. And it amazed me that everybody in the Bible was held according to the Bible. And they never had a Bible. Physically.
Amen.
But think about this. Where does the word come from? It comes from the heart of God. Mm-hmm. It was always his plan. I've even heard preachers that almost make it seem like God was making it up as he go along. That they actually said that. But see what it is, that told me they didn't do two things. They didn't read the whole word, and they didn't ask God about it. I'm big on that. Because I contact a lot of people. I make an earnest effort to reach out to people in these last days.
Okay.
And I find that a lot of times they just haven't heard the word, but they don't talk to God. And it's when you're dealing with Christians, you expect that to be a norm. Because when God made himself, I can't forget it, November 16, 1976, he went from being a religion to a person. At that point, I went and bought a Bible. I think I paid $2 for it. It was a bookstore down on Woodward Avenue, an American Revised edition. And I spent the next 6 months reading the entire book. I knew then that I had to be in contact with God. Because a lot of things I started to see in the Bible, I wasn't being told. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is serious. We're talking my eternity. And if I don't get nothing right, I got to get that right. So, and this is what God is telling Moses. I'm going to give you the word. See, and if you notice, that there are more than 10 commandments, but all the other commandments hang over those 10. Okay, that's the foundation. If you deviate from those, then you're going to have problems with God. But understand that we come here as children. And think about it, when a child is born, what's the first thing we do? From day one, we start teaching them. And that's what God is telling Moses here. See, in life, we are really at the embryonic stage. Okay, we I know it seems like we're advancing with this monster they're coming out with, AI. They're going to regret. But even with all the knowledge that they have, that studied at MIT, CIT, and all them T-Tech schools, they know, look. Because if you can't fly without a plane, if you can't walk on the water, you really don't know a whole lot.
Come on.
Wow.
Okay? Jesus did all that. Jesus is where we are going. Now,
amen.
What this is about is I'm going to give you power, tremendous amount of power. But you have to have you got to know that I'm God. And I'm going to determine how you use this power. Because this is going to be forever. See, we at the beginning of this thing. Now, again, think about this. Now, this here is roughly about 3,500 years after Moses. I mean, after Adam. Why did God wait that long? Because it's a process to understanding the God nature, the God man, small g. Okay, I have to emphasize that. Because there's controversy on YouTube that when you say that man is a God class being, they call it a heresy. No, I'm talking small g, magistrate, ruler. Okay? There's big G, creator. That's a totally different person.
Okay.
Okay? God introduced me to three new words. You're not going to find them in the dictionary yet. It's cognition, conipotent, and conipresent.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Wow. Now, the difference is God is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent.
Yes.
Okay? He doesn't have a source to receive power. All right? When you're co-omnipotent, you receive power.
Yes, sir.
Okay, like co-operator, co-partner. We receive from God. Think about this. Right now, coming up out of my spirit to my brain, our signals traveling at 165 millions of a second. Okay? To activate all the molecules in my jaw to make me speak, create a specific vibration. All right? Now, your ear is picking them up. When they leave my mouth, they're traveling 600 miles an hour. You pick them up, break them down, analyze, and can hear what I say. That is the God-class being. That is why God is demanding that we understand his word. Yeah. Now, we want to go to Matthew chapter 22. And I see right now Holy Spirit is going a whole different way. But I follow. Amen. And we go into verse 37. I'm going to start with 34 so you know who he's talking to. Now, he's talking to the Pharisees, which as during the silent period of the Bible from the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew, these guys created their own Jewish denomination. I mean, they taught in the word as close as they could, okay? But he said, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, that's another weird group, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind and thy soul and with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy neighbor. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, Jesus, everything that God is going to do with us, through us, and to us is going to hang on these. Okay? This is the foundation. God expects us to master these. It's easy to say that until pressure comes, like it is now. We have all these issues of what is a man? I mean, the Bible is clear. God made male and female. None of us would be here if he hadn't done it that way. Again, this comes back to where we are going. And we're not far from that. So when we talk about the rapture and the second coming, we're talking about going to what I call third gen man. Now, that's another whole level of power, because look at what people do with power. Okay? And this is why the issue here, as we're talking about, it is that as leaders, as men, we're supposed to teach this, as he said in Deuteronomy, to our children. We're supposed to teach the mindset of God. Why? With the purpose of God. Why is he doing all this? God could have very easily have just made this life, made this heaven on earth, but he didn't. Because think about it. When God made Adam, he made a separate being. And that's tremendous. I'm gonna keep it simple. But he made a separate being. But he has the thinking capacity that God has. I know that seems incredible, but look at what we have done. See, think about this. There was a man I was studying named Archimedes. His math skill was equal to NASA, anybody at NASA, 300 years before Christ. And then our present-day math system, the Arabic numeral system, goes back 3,600 years. That's the same system that they use. See, that is God revealing our nature and our mindset capability. See, you got to look at this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to verse 4. You know. Well, I'm going to start with verse 1. Again. It says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. honor thy mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, that's where we come in, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the word.
Yes.
You know, I think back to my two youngest sons were born, and how that at that time I had a different job. I was actually driving a bus, which required me to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And so at that, I did the first feeding. So that gave my wife a break. But it also gave me, and because the babies would be up when that, you know, and both of them, they would be up that time of morning. And it was a different relationship because I thought about, I started out talking to them, explaining to them where they were, and it amazed me how they I held their attention, you know, and that created a relationship that is, you know, I remember being young and, I don't know if I should go there, but let's just say I wanted to have a conversation with my father, and I understand their generation was different. And you know, when you're growing up, your body go through these changes, and you got questions that you want to know because, like daddy, things is happening here. You know? So you know, you used to one type of liquid coming out, but then something else happened. You think it's out of broke something. So my point here is that God want us to teach our children the truth of our life.
Right.
It's all in the Bible. I'm amazed at what's in the Bible. Okay, the word P-I-S-S is in the Bible in Chronicles. I was shocked to see that. But they did not leave anything out because they had the whole conversation in there. But the point here is that, note that he put the emphasis. Now, I know I grew up, my father worked a lot, you know, but he was like my father, we thought of him as capital punishment. my mother could handle business, believe me. Somebody once asked me, did I believe in UFOs? I said, yes, I do. They said, yeah, you ever seen one? I'm like, yeah, my mother asked me to do something, and I'm going to wait on the commercial. I'm watching TV, right? And this UFO came past my head. So, like I said, but this, so the emphasis, even though it's men's day and men ought to be the head, women will follow a strong lead. Okay? And that's the other thing. I've seen the issue. I'm not just throw that out there. I see this issue now. I'm seeing all these messages on should women preach. I'm like, what Bible are you reading? They've been in there all the way through. One of my favorite characters is Deborah in the book of Judges.
Okay.
She ran the country and was a prophetess. She got her offices from God. Okay? Yeah. Which means in my book that I wrote, I talked about the fact that you have to be, but women have to go to God and make sure, because if he gave her the gift to be governor of the state, then she need a man that can support that, not get intimidated by that, and find his place in that. Because the things that we got to know is how to communicate. The number one thing is how to communicate with God. Who is God and how to communicate with him? Okay. See, and that's the role of the man, because we have to, when he said bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, One of the strongest things about this is that relationship with God. That's something you see with continuity throughout the Bible. All the men in leadership had a direct relationship with God. Look, we're no different than Adam, than Noah, than Abraham, in that the fact that they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. We have Holy Spirit in us. Amen. I guess I should open up my notes now. but that is the essence of this, and that God made us the head. And one of the areas that we really had, that God put a lot of emphasis on me, was prayer. Because you have to spend time with God. If you start praying, God will teach you how to pray. We know without doing a complete teaching on prayer. We pray, as you heard when I opened up, I pray according to the word, which came from the book of Ephesians and from the book of Colossians, because God responds to his word. You know, and that means that we as men, we have to, I found out I had to seek him, because one of the things I've learned is that God won't take excuses.
Okay.
You know, I was looking at my life in the 90s, and I'm like, and I'm talking about, thinking about it, I'm communing with God about what things would have been like if I had known. And he basically gave me the impression, he said, like, talk to the hand, because I was here. It don't matter what who didn't say or who didn't tell you, my word was here and I was here. It was up to me, because, you know, really, truth be said, we can sit in church and the word go forth, we decide to hear it. You know, my pastor introduced a foundation for faith, and that is, you got to hear the word, receive the word, believe the word, speak the word, and then act on the word. That's our responsibility. You know, it's amazing, because a lot of times I sit and I know people that sit and hear the same thing I hear, but they have a different response to it. They I hear them that they don't, you know, we've been taught, if you've been coming here, I've heard enough messages here, but every chance I get to hear, because I binge on the word, okay? So I know at Running for Christ, if you don't have a battle plan, you don't know how to battle, you're not listening. You're hearing, but you're not receiving, or you're not believing. Because I hear what comes across the pulpit. I hear what comes over the radio, the word, because that's what you need. Because we're here to know this. God is omniscient. He already know that. He's omniscient. We're cognition. We have to learn this. And then, this is another one, God let the devil exist.
Wow.
Think about that. He's invisible to us, but he's not invisible to God. And when you look at Job, that really amazed me, that conversation going on.
Right.
I'm like, I would hear, I ain't knocking for when they be telling saying to go back to hell from whence he came. I'm like, he came from heaven.
Right.
He really did. He got kicked out.
Yeah.
I asked God, I'm like, you kicked him out of heaven. Okay? I mean, that's clear. That's in Revelation chapter 12, which is how we know the Bible was not written by man. But now, he shows up in Genesis chapter 3 starting stuff. I'm like, God, why you let him in the garden? Okay, why did you kill him? Then later on, why you let him do that to Job? See, understand, Job was at a prophet level. Even though they hadn't even got documented that, okay, there's a levels of relationship. Now, these levels of relationship will go by how much time you give to God.
Okay.
I know it seemed like he pick and choose people, but see, it's that God is, by him being omniscient in time and space, he know who's going to listen and who's not going to.
Okay.
Who's going to do his will. And that's, you know, these are the key things that we have to learn. It is not, even though he called, many are called, few are chosen. Some make a decision, because guess what's going to happen when you call, when you come forth? Satan going to show up. That's guaranteed.
Yes.
Okay. But in the body of Christ, okay, you have to know that it says in John, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Mm-hmm. Now, we go from there, you go to Acts chapter 1, and you find that, we'll go there and read it.
Acts chapter 1.
Because, I was taught that when you read something and you see something, you need to stop and ask why God put that in there. Because he controlled the Bible. I've read some interesting books. I've been reading, I read the first 40 chapter of the book of Jasher. All right. Book of Jasher. It's not in the Bible. Yeah, it's mentioned in the book. I read it because it's mentioned in the book of Joshua.
Uh-huh.
And if it's in there, like I said, but I'll tell you this. It won't tell you how to get closer to God.
Okay.
It's not necessary. What's in these 66 books, which sadly about 80% of Christians have never read once, has everything you need to know. All it has is some details that you there's some things in the Bible we all know. I mean, Jesus walking on water, okay? Jesus teleporting. They didn't have that term when he did it. In John 20, verse 19 and verse 26, he teleported. Now, you got to bear that in mind. When I'm talking about God giving us power, he's going to give us that power. Okay. See, when a person dies, okay, when a Christian dies, they go to what I call third gen man, okay? First gen man from Adam, okay, to Jesus, didn't have the Holy Spirit. Only the prophets, priests, and kings had the Holy Spirit upon them. When Jesus sent back the Holy Spirit, see, it's more happening when we say, Lord Jesus, come into our heart. Even though you may not feel something, something happened.
Okay.
That changed, because that's what changed me. That's why I remember November 16, 1976. He came in there, and I had to make a decision, and I did. Okay? Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me both in Ecorus, River Rouge, and in Detroit. Basically, that's what he said, because he's going to unleash his power. And again, it comes down to, like, say, in that case, he had picked the disciples. But the issue here is that you have tremendous amount of power. And at this specific time in history, it's incumbent upon us to lean into God and to become sensitive to his voice. Now, all the things that God talks about with Moses, as you know, there are numerous laws and statutes, but those are to make us develop a character acceptable to God. And there's a distinct difference. Because you notice as you read through the word, you have these different, different types of cultures. And see, that's because man's nature will automatically gravitate and educate. But the problem is that he has to understand that God knows what's right. Okay? We see that now. In that, again, we have a situation where they have, I heard a conversation listening to a young man that he declared he wants to be a woman, as though it's easier than being a man. But it is not. Because he's still going to have to live by the laws of God. And then he had no idea. I was thinking, I'm like, I wish he could get pregnant. May 7th, 1988, right up here on I-75, I crashed a motorcycle at 95 miles an hour. That hurts so bad. I'm laying there wanting to be euthanized, right? And the nurse tell me, women go through that every time they have a baby. So I'm like, no way. I'm like, why are there so many people? That's a tremendous amount of pain. It was the thought in my mind. When I was a child, when my mother was, I was walking, she was holding Gerald, okay, while Christopher was crawling around, and she's cooking dinner. I'm like, man, ain't no way. And it's like, what, about 2 years apart between us? Listen, that ain't no easy job. That ain't no easy job at all. But they don't understand. Again, it goes back to, and I get it, that when you look at Christianity, it can be confusing because, you know, they got a Pope and ain't none in the Bible, and then you got all these different types of doctrines going around. But again, I always say, go back to the Word. What does the Word say? What does the Word? Because that, at the end of the day, that's where God is going to hold me accountable. He's not going to judge me by what's in encyclopedias Oh yeah, y'all old enough to know what encyclopedias are.
Yeah.
Like what? Is that a bug or something?
Encyclopedia.
But understand that this is what it's about. Now again, God started out with Adam, okay? And he was supposed to, I used to say when I see Adam, I'm going to slap him, you know, for letting that happen. But think about that. He was the first man. He didn't have Runner for Christ Ministries to come to. He had to just, he's going. God, when God told him, if you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Well, he hadn't seen anybody die until Cain died. I mean, till Cain killed Abel. And that was a mystery to him, because now then, what happened to the person on the inside of that body? So again, there's a lot to learn in this. So God knew that we was going to have to go through this process. If we didn't see all this, if we didn't have his Bible, if we didn't have his history, we wouldn't understand it to the degree that we do. And that's what drives us, because again, like I said, if we begin to master this, then we begin to see that's when God began to reveal more about it. Because again, as I said, God let the devil exist for a reason. He's a training tool. The problem was he stepped out ahead of God's plan. Okay. See, you have another situation in, I believe, 1 Kings chapter 22, when God releases a lion spirit into the earth. Okay, the difference is that spirit is not condemned to hell because God allowed him. There's circumstances and conditions which I won't go into that God allowed, but right now in the earth, God is going to allow those of us that listen to him more access to his power. Now, like I said, being a father is a challenging role, and being the head of leadership, because the things that we have to learn what the word says. And one of the main things that God teaches us, as I read in the commandments, was you shall love the Lord your God. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because that I learned third week of my marriage. You know, they tell you when you get married, you marry the representative. Then later on,
you get the real
person comes out. But
anybody been married to know.
But God knew that. That's why he designed marriage, and that's why I taught my son that, you know, it's called marriage and not fun. I see you have fun in the marriage, but it's different. Amen. Now, right here though, this is what God asked me, do you love her? And I told him, I don't even know what you're talking about. I really don't know. And he said it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So I read it, and when I got to verse 4, it says, and charity suffers long and is kind. When I first read that, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, butter. This can't be sin. And then I'm, with the King James or with the Bible, you know, the original Bible, the New Testament was written in Greek. So I had to go look up the word charity, found the word agape. Now, the word agape is God's supreme type of love. It's not, let's read this. Because this actually describes agape. As I was taught, the Bible defines the Bible. It says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not, and charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. In the first line, it's charity never fail. Now, when I first read that, it was a moment I wish God couldn't read my mind. Because my first thought was, you crazy. Who can do this? See? But again, it goes back to what God has done. See, because we can't do all the things that the Holy Spirit is capable of doing, we tend to think that he's a lesser person than the rest of the Godhead. But see, this is why, now you can check with God on this, okay? This is because, that's what I've been taught. You always want to go back to God. When you hear something, that's why you take notes, you go home and you won't. Because God could, I might not get it across to you like God can. Because okay. He knows where you at, all right?
All right.
Now, you want to, I don't know, I lost myself here. But you want charity. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Agape.
Agape love, okay. Now, understand this. He wants you to think of the way God sees us. I have to go where I'm at. Amen. Okay, it says charity suffers long and is kind. So, bottom line is, he wants you, this is what guards, our decision-making process and how we interact with people. Okay? For instance, I've seen through the last two presidential candidates, people that can't relate to them. They can't pray for them. Can't associate with them. See, one of the foundations, the power of prayer is love. Because who is love?
God.
So when I'm praying, I'm releasing God into the situation. I'm his servant on earth. Okay? So now, again, these are the things that God wants us to teach and to understand. What's going on in the world presently is just the simple fact of the lack of prayer. And Jesus said, because the love of many, okay, because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But see, then we're putting on hold the power of God. The main thing here is that the life circumstances that we go through in marriage are all designed for us to learn how to walk in love even under pressure, in the midst of opposition. See, and that's the key factor here. And like I say, what it was, it's incumbent again, when they began, when you go back to Deuteronomy, when Moses and them began, even today, if you went to Israel at the wall where they prayed, the Western Wall, you had the men on one side and the women on the other. See, so but God again, so the issue was he wanted the men to come to him and he would give them the word and then he'd go home and teach it to their family.
Okay.
That's the way it's supposed to be. And God will, this is what I found, see, he will make you, as they say, you become the pastor of your household. And that's the main thing that we had to understand, because we're talking about building the kingdom of God. It took me a while to get the revelation of what that was about. Because I really hadn't been told specifically that that's why I had children. That I was, I had to, once I began to get into the word, and then I have a man of God that didn't bite his, he told me straight up what the issue was, and I'm like, wow, this is deep. That changed how I approached everything. And I'll tell you, because I unfortunately have children from two different marriages. My first marriage was resolved because at that time I was still crazy on drugs, like really crazy, okay? And naturally she didn't feel safe under those conditions. And then later on, which was really about a year and a half, okay, God delivered me. And I remember something. I was concerned then because I was concerned about them, right, my children. And the Lord told me something. He said, if you walk upright before me, I'll bless your children. And that's what that became the motivator. And that's challenging because the only guide I had to go by was his word. And as a result, my oldest son graduated from college, went into the Marines. And I mean, I was down in Texas, and the thing that thrilled me the most was hearing him pray. And I could hear him pray to God, who was his God. And that meant a lot, because that means that his dependent, and I talked to him all the time, We have a relationship as though we grew up in the same with my daughter. We have a relationship as though we grew up in the same household. That really helped me understand how powerful prayer is. That's I'm big on prayer. I'm big on talking to God. I see when I see a cop car with the siren on, I start praying for the protection of that officer.
Right.
See, because he don't know what he's dealing with. He don't know. I learned something in law enforcement. But again, this all comes back to what's going on now. They talked about, now I went to Ecorse High School. And they talked about how they took prayer out to school. I don't remember praying in school. I remember my mother being up at 6 o'clock in the morning praying. And now I really understand. I remember at noonday praying. I remember as a little child, preschool, obviously, because my mother had dropped me off at my grandfather's house. And I remember, because I can remember my grandmother's face smiling as I kneeled down beside my grandfather praying.
All right.
See, so that's where the key was. But that's the result of the anointing that's on us now.
Amen.
Man, I met a lady that she told me, that's why I got the term with Deacon at, the preaching deacon. Dave, is he back there hiding? Deacon Tate. He was known for that. He introduced me, John Maddox introduced me to commentaries.
Mm.
I didn't even know they existed. There was a book that explained the Bible. That was another whole ride. I really wish I'd have had more time with him. But again, there you go, that father link. That had an impact on me. Mm. So every chance I could, I expressed the word to my children. And I love seeing the impact. That's the most important thing you can give your children.
Right.
My nephew John's always remind us that he appreciated the fact that we gave him Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
Because, see, at the end of the day, you know, I watch a lot of people. I was watching this program about all these celebrities that have been passing away.
Right.
And I think about it, I'm like, did they leave with Jesus?
Right.
Because all these accolades you can get from man don't mean diddly. Okay? Now, the Bible says you can get in, some going to get into the kingdom of God, and they ain't going to really have anything, but they're going to be there. Okay, as Paul said, yeah, that's by fire. Okay, they barely get in. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But see, what matter is what you do for Christ. Okay, but amen. And like I just want to say, men to the men, pray for your children every day. Pray for them. This is something God just, I had asked him, how much authority do I have over my grandchildren? And he said, they came through you.
Wow.
So I have authority to, he said, that they at the age of accountability on their own. Then my prayer is like with my older children to assist them.
Right.
But I can cover the grandchildren.
Okay.
And that's the motivator. That's tremendous power.
Thank you.
Amen. I see the timekeeper say. But amen. Let's bow our heads. Let everyone bow their heads. We're going to do something different. I want to do something here that we do at Word of Faith. A different type of altar call. And you need to understand that Christ is easy to receive. So, if you've never received Christ, just pray this prayer with us. And if you receive Christ and love Christ and you're returning, just pray this prayer with us. And I want everybody to lift one hand toward heaven where our help comes from.
Yes, sir.
Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I thank you
for this opportunity to come before you.
I believe the Bible is your word.
I believe the Bible is your word.
And in it it says, that we were all born in sin. And I believe, that you sent your son, to die for our sins. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, I believe in my heart, I am saved. I am born again. And I am delivered.
Amen.
You know, I just thank God. I hope I said something to encourage you. And keep me in your prayers.
Yes, you did.
Because, you know, God got me doing some things right now across the nation. I mean, it's something. It's really amazing because I've been involved in the prison ministry before COVID, and I found a way for me to continue that. But now we're doing it state, not just here in Michigan, but in other states.
Okay.
You know, it's a process. And it's, so you, anything you do for God, understand yes. this. The war is on. We are God. We are only Satan's only threat. We're the only power against him. I know there are people that think they have power, but the truth is, what it comes down to is, see, having the Holy Spirit is tremendous. I'm telling you, it is tremendous. It is tremendous. And we're going to see more of that as this time elapses. But in, as it goes through the year. See, I'm not threatened about, they're talking about the coming persecution. I'm like, let them bring it. Let them bring it. Because I think I got some Elijah anointing for them. And Elisha for them. I really do. Because I tell you, they can bring it. I think a lot of things happen because people don't know.
Ooh.
They don't know. This is a different time. In my mind, what I think COVID was a not only it was a wake up call, but it was a judgment move. Because I heard that prophesied before it hit. So we was expecting something. We didn't expect that. And the reason I put, unlike most incidents, like the floods, fire going on in California, that's Satan, okay? COVID went around the world because all of us act up. Mm-hmm. You know, that was, like they say, even Stephen.
Yeah.
But it woke up a lot of people. It woke, it, you know, and I'm like, okay, let's do this. So, amen. Amen. Where do we go from here?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Stepping in for the deacon. Whenever we have a guest preacher, we take up a love offering for them. Preachers should earn their living from the word, from the church. Right. Amen?
Amen.
So right now, just going to pass around for the love offering.
Yeah.
one another and show us who are there. The number one issue in the church is Bible illiteracy. If you don't know the word, that's the number one issue. In this church, you have no excuses. It's paid, you get in a class somewhere, that's all that matters is that you know the word. Amen. How are you going to talk about somebody you don't know? All this bad thing about God is out there now, because folks talk about it, don't know. It's people, our job is to declare the faith, tell people who it is, not just by what we say, but how we act.
We will declare your name. We will declare. help me.
I can take it wherever.
This one on too.
Let us bow. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity and time together. Father, we ask that you bless us and saturate your word in our heart, that you would strengthen us with might in our inner man. Bless each and every one as we go from this place. Let your angels continue to encamp around about us. Bless us continually, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.